Hi, and welcome to the 5-Minute Business Boost, where you get to choose your 5-Minute Investment. I'm your host, Sam Nix, and I'll be discussing topics under the headings of business development, marketing, photography, and much more. Today, I'm with a local artist who has exhibited nationally and globally. Born and raised in Akron and Murrindini, Marion, as her website explains, has honed her craft over decades. She won't want to admit that, just quietly, experimenting with various styles before finding her true voice in freeform impressionism. Her art is a vivid tapestry with bold and expressive brushstrokes that have this real energy that tells stories of all of us, the diverse and sometimes challenging landscapes in which we live and work, and the enchanting wildlife that defines our region and indeed the nation. I have two of Marion's works on my wall, so I'm a little biased. I love her work because I suppose what I love about Marion's work is the colour and the energy. And the pieces that I've got feature women, fruit and landscapes, and they certainly get questions asked by our visitors. Marion has a wealth of experience as a local storyteller, artist, cook, gardener, and I think the gardening part really comes from her mum, which we might find out a bit later. Her mum had a real vision for the property, and Marion has turned that into a whole public space that is open at certain weekends and times of the years where people who visit can interact with sculpture exhibitions, and there is a real meld of music, garden, local food and wine, and art. It's of art. So let's get started. One wild fact about Marion, in her own words, is that she said, "I paint, I cook, I garden, and I just try to keep all the balls in the air." So welcome, Marion Rennie.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
I am good. I can't believe I've managed to drag you away from your garden gathering firewood and painting today, but I appreciate you coming to chat to me.
That's life in the country. Got to have the home fires burning.
Especially in winter when it gets a bit cold up here in the high country. People don't understand, I don't think.
No, but it's still a really beautiful time up here. You just have to look at the beauty of it. You know, it's cold, it's all that stuff, but there's another amazing beauty here at this time of year.
It's the mist for me.
We have lots of that.
We do.
It kind of comes in around about 1 o'clock and comes in around about 3.
If you're lucky.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah. No, yeah. It's lovely to chat to you.
All righty, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions, Marion. Yes. So how did your business journey begin? I suppose I want to know what your why is and what, I suppose, inspired you, I suppose, to do your art, but then also to run a business around your art.
OMG. Well, it's what I said to you earlier. It's keeping all the balls in the air. Look, I came back here. I'd worked in the arts all over the world and Melbourne and in theatre and things like that for a long time. And then when my mum had died and my dad died, and I just couldn't bear anybody else owning Akron. And so I made the major shift of coming back here. And probably since then, my life has just been, as I said, keeping all the balls in the air. So you know, it's a big property. I have to sort of bring an income in to keep it all going, blah, 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 blah. Does this make sense?
And it does.
You have to do what you've got to do to keep all the balls in the air. So I juggle mine between painting and running the restaurant more during the summer times, because that's when we have more tourists up here and things. It's just trying to be as diverse as I can be to just keep doing it. So you can't, it's like you can't have all your eggs in one basket. You've got to have a whole lot of baskets. And when one basket is a bit depleted in one season of the year, you've got to have the other basket that fills that basket. Does that make sense?
I think it does. And I think creative types, I don't want to say that you get all sort of wound up and thrive on it, but you certainly are able to cope with that diversity. So one minute you're an artist, next minute you're cooking, next minute you're having a sculpture exhibition, next minute, you know, you're packing all your stuff up and heading off to an exhibition somewhere. And I think that diversity is exciting in a way.
It's all called multitasking, but we've also got another really amazing thing within my family happening at the moment, because I have this little brother who's, you know, a bit of a quiet achiever. Well, he's not. He's a rather big achiever. And he has now developed the largest hemp farm in the world. So we're very involved at the moment in, you know, like future sustainability, especially after the forest, you know, the forest stuff has happened here, and there's got to be a new way to go forward. So we're sort of looking at developing amazing amounts of building materials out of hemp, working with people like Eust Backer. Eust is quite an amazing guy. He's an inspirational person. And Peter Burgess from Rainbow Bee Eater. And this is all about to sort of happen. So it's kind of, I'm really getting behind it and supporting it, because I think it's an earth changing. I mean, hemp sequesters the same amount of carbon in 100 days as a forest does in 27 years.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is pretty mind-blowing stuff. And they did a test the other day at the CSIRO, like the other week, where they built the product that is being manufactured out of this hemp, which is happening now. They did a big test up at the CSIRO in New South Wales, and they basically built a very simple, you know, like a building out of the hemp product, and they took the temperatures to 1100 degrees Celsius and then to 1200 degrees Celsius, which is as hot as it got in the fire front in the 2009 fires.
Yep.
And the temperature inside the building stayed at 32 degrees Celsius. Like, this is amazing.
No way.
No, this is amazing. Amazing, amazing stuff.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so.
Wow, that is exciting. So let's come back to the hemp.
I got distracted.
Oh, not at all. Typical creative person. Oh, look, something new and shiny. And I wonder if your paintings will reflect this in the future. They potentially may.
Well, actually, so funny you say that, because my paintings have moved, you know, because it's really inspired me to see a good way forward for the future. Like, we have to have a good way forward for the future with our sustainability and everything, because we need it, you know. And so, yes, I am doing a whole lot of paintings about that at the moment.
Good, good. So when you look back on your, I'll call it a career, when you look back on your career, what have been some of your key challenges and solutions? You sort of hinted around diversifying, but when you look back at it all, Marion, and you have gone through bushfires and floods, you've had the works, drought, how did you overcome those challenges either through your art or in your life?
Oh, Sam, I just think it's that, you know, like, I grew up here, and when you grow up here, you've had to learn a bit of resilience. And, you know, we had floods when we were younger. We had bushfires when we were younger. We survived them. I mean, you know, you just have to. That is part of living in this world. And there's so many positive aspects for living in this world. So you've just got to survive the other bits that sort of come along every so often. I don't even think of it as a challenge, even with the floods and things. I was, I just like, okay, this is what's happening, deal with it.
That's right. So
you're probably quite similar. You just have to deal with
experience. Well, yeah, you do adapt. You have to adapt. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so on reflection, what is the most significant milestone
of my life
your business has achieved? It's probably a lot, but can you single out one?
God, no. No, I couldn't. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. I wouldn't even know where to start, Sam. No, can't. It's changed. It's morphed. It's gone through many different sort of, you know, it's gone from working at the National Gallery of Melbourne to oversee. I wouldn't even know where that I could. No, that's actually a question. I'm sorry. I can't answer. It's like we just said before, it's you just got to deal with everything that comes up and deal with it.
And my mother
used to say, take every day at a time.
Wow. So that's a real lesson learned. So the next question is about what is the most important lesson you've learned. Is that one of the major lessons that you've learned is from your mum about taking each day as it comes?
There's that, and there's also just be kind to people.
Mm.
Oh, I remember my Barry said to me many years ago, you know, be nice to the people on the way up because you might need them on the way down.
Oh, I love that.
That's a good one.
That is a good one. That is a good one.
That's a really good one.
It is a real one.
I just think it's we live in a great area of the country, and I probably have a different thing because our family's been here so long, and I just want to continue that energy and life that we have as, you know, like it's just a country life. And I was the last person that anyone ever thought would come back here, as you know.
I was going to say, you were going to be a town girl.
Oh, God, I was in a city for many, many years all over the world. Mm. But to me now, the values in a town like Alex, I love Alex. I just love the – when I was younger, it was like, get me out of here, okay? Because I was meant to be a goddamn Rennie and all that bizzo, and I was like, get me out of here. But now, as I'm older, I really love that sort of sense of community and belonging. I have all these tapes of my dad from the National Museum in Canberra, and they sent an anthropologist down here years ago to, you know, before Dad died, and he talks about belonging, and he loved the land. He just, it was a love. It was an absolute love. And he said, you know, to know a place, you have to walk over it. You've got to feel it. You've got to love it.
Mm, wow. And I think you do that as well, Miriam, because a lot of those values and I suppose love of the land, you've inherited both from your dad and your mum.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you're with the country that you're on now, your space there in Akron?
Oh, absolutely and utterly. And also another thing my dad said, not going back to my dad all the time, but, you know, my father always said, we're just the caretakers.
Ooh, yes, that's very true. That's very true.
We are just really, we're the caretakers. It's up to us to look after it and leave it. And the other thing with dad was, I've got his obituary here somewhere, but said, you know, he always left people and the land in a better place than he found them. And I think that's a really, you know, if we can get more of that, instead of everyone wanting to take, if we can get more input and more of that going in life and society, I think, you know, we'll be a happier world.
That's a really interesting point, Maureen, because, you know, like with world events over the last couple of years, you know, you've got so many people, a real groundswell that are like, you know, just be kind to yourselves, just be kind to others. It's not that hard to do, you know. And I think you're right. I think
it's not rocket science.
Yeah, exactly right. And I think, you know, the older people, even though, yes, it was a different generation, there was different, I suppose, expectations back then than what there is now, there's some real truth in actually understanding where you're from, your environment, the people around you, and what binds your community. And I think, you know, we've got a lot to learn from people whose, I suppose, in a reflective way, the shoulders we're walking on now, as far as, you know, how to look after yourself and the land and, you know, that whole custodian thing, I think, is just really true, very true.
Yeah, I think it's really important, because I think if we don't have that, we're just going to be real estate. We're just going to be real estate. Boom.
Yeah.
No kind of histories or memories or, you know, like we probably could easily just end up as absolute real estate.
Yep. And people won't care.
If we keep the stories and the histories and things together, we just, it's just so much richer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like it's just sort of, it's just richer. Without it, it doesn't mean anything.
Well, we've got no connection then, do we, to family, to land, to people, community, nothing. And then what are we leaving, the next generation. No stories, not much. Well, that's exactly right.
Not much. So if we can, you know, you look at the whole Indigenous culture and that, and their stories, and that's what is their culture. And we have such a rich culture here, and we have to keep those stories and everything, you know, alive for the same reason. I mean, and probably meld it in with the Indigenous culture and make it our world, our culture, our, otherwise, as I said, we're just going to be a bit of real estate in the world level.
Exactly right. So any advice for any inspiring entrepreneurs or artists out there, Marian?
I'm thinking.
I think the point about having diversity.
Have a vision.
Yes.
Have a vision. Because you've got to know, you know, like I remember when I was growing up in, you know, I was hanging around in Melbourne, in Carlton, Fitzroy all the years and years ago. A few girls said to me, oh, it's all right for you. You know you're going to be an artist. Now, I didn't really know I was going to be an artist. I had no idea at that stage. But I think the thing is to have some, and it's not easy, it's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but to have some kind of sense of vision, who you want to be, what you want to do, and then kind of have some belief in that. And that's really hard, because particularly when you're younger, because you're less secure, you're less everything. When you get as old as me, you don't give a fuck, basically. So you just do it. But I think, sorry about that. I think that, you know, to just have some kind of strength in your, or belief in your vision and your possibilities of who you can be and what you can do. I was lousy at this when I was young. I was so bad. I was like a little country girl that went to the city and I was overwhelmed. But I was so stubborn and shitty that I just kept doing it. But, yeah, have a vision and believe in it.
I've seen some of your early works that you share on Facebook. When do you think the turning point was? You're talking about, you know, you weren't good at it.
Oh, no, no, no.
Like somewhere along the line, you must have had that whole self-belief, Marian, because your work just got better and better and better as the years went over.
Yeah, I did. I did. And that was when I met, I was actually, God, this is funny. Oh, man. I'd just done a film with David Parker and Nadia Tass, and we'd done all the trams and things like that, and we'd had the tram at our house. And then this other guy, I remember his name, Chris Hodges, asked me if I would come and paint 18 naked bodies for a Mondo Rock film clip in, which was Peanuts, which was a, it was a nightclub in the city, just opposite the Melbourne City bars, you know what I mean? So I went there and I ended up, oh, God, and then the same night, that same night, they'd just done, Sigourney Weaver had just done Aliens 2, maybe, I don't know.
Yep, one of them.
And I'd built this whole concept with another company called Mother's Art, and we'd built the inside of the whole Aliens cave in that Hoyt cinema up the top of Burke Street, you know, the old Hoyt cinema.
Yep.
So we'd built all that and I'd gone to the opening, and then during the day, this was a turning point in my life. Okay, this was a turning point. And then during the day I'd been with Barry, who I just met, and a guy called Dan Burstall, who is a cinematographer. Like Dan is sort of Betty Burstall, who started La Mama, her son, Tom and Sigrid, you know, Sigrid Thornton, blah, all that stuff. And so I had done the thing with Mondo Rock. It was called Primitive Love Rites. It was a film. it was a music clip. And it's still out there. I think it's had a bit of a resurgence. And I'd painted all these naked bodies with Dayglow paint. It was crazy. And then I was meant to go to the opening of Miss Sigourney Weaver and all this kind of stuff, and for the thing at Hoyt's. So I went to that, and then I got to the opening, and I'm like wearing my red stilettos and leopard skin tights as I did in those days. Barry and Dan said to me, oh, we've got the rushes for the Mondo Rock film clip. Come out to Williamstown. And, you know, and I'm thinking, shite, I'm meant to be at the fucking bloody thing there with Sigourney Weaver. So I waited till everyone went in and then I ran down Burke Street with my in my red stilettos. And Dan and Barry met me down there. And then I went to Williamstown and we watched all the rushes and did all that kind of stuff. And, yes, that was a very big turning point in my life because then Barry, he was a cinematographer. He'd been in the film industry for many years, did Man from Snowy River, All the Rivers Run, all that stuff. And, yeah, then I ended up living out there for a fair while after that, about sort of, you know, 18 years. But so, and then Barry said to me once, he did, which is amazing. What do you want to do? I said, I want to paint. He said, I'll give you 3 years and I'll support you for 3 years to do it. Wow. And then he and I travelled all over the world. We had exhibitions in London, Japan, you know, hundreds of places. He ended up having a heart attack, and that was in the film industry, that was bad because it's a freelance industry and people don't want to, you know, employ anyone that's had a heart attack. Yeah. He was filming, you probably might not remember, but there was an ad for Telstra, which was up in Queensland, and it was all a telephone booth and all this floods and things like that. Anyway, Barry's filming that one day and he flies back to Melbourne. And he says to me, oh, I'm not feeling good. And I'm thinking, oh, God, you're a hypochondriac. Anyway, that night he had a major heart attack, but he survived it. So then after that, he really came and worked and promoted my work and we did huge things at the National Gallery. And we did amazing stuff. Yeah, like, look, they were great days. They were good days. And if you asked me for a turning point in my life,
that would have been it.
Yeah, it was meeting Barry. He was a good man. He was a good man.
Wow. Wow. So is there something that you want to talk about in the closing of this podcast, Marion? You mentioned about the hemp. So
that's talked too much already, Sam.
Probably. That's probably a very big project that's coming up. Well,
talk about the hemp, I think this is a quite visionary thing for the future. We have to become more sustainable. We have to change our consumerist sort of behaviour. Yeah. And if we can get this off the ground, which I hope we can, we're working on it, yeah. I think it will be quite earth-changing. And the only other thing I'd say, darling, is have a bloody dream and go for it.
I love it. I think we're going to finish up on that. So if people want to see what you're doing as far as the garden and exhibitions and the sculptural and art features that are happening at Akron, where do they find you, Marion?
In Akron?
In Akron, yes, I know that. But websites?
I have a website, but it's not up to date as much as it should be. I need you to help me. bloody hell. Yeah, no,
Socials. I think your Facebook
page. I do most on, I do because I'm in the middle of nowhere, so I do a lot on Facebook. Yeah.
Well, thank you, Marion, for joining me today. I know it's been a rushing between firewood and getting a hip off the ground and navigating Zoom and all those things, but I really thank you for joining me today. And people, if you want to find Marion, just Google Marion Rennie.
Sam, you're amazing.
You're amazing. I've been so lucky, Marion. I've had some amazing people on my podcast and you're right up there with one of the women that I admire greatly for what you've done and what you do and how you're working with your community and the fact that you just fill Akron with colour and vibrancy and all of those things. And I'm pretty chuffed with the images or the paintings I've got here that you've done. I look at them quite often and go, oh, that Marion, she's so clever. But it's been a real joy today. So thank you so much, Marion, for coming onto my little podcast today.
And I also think you're amazing.
Oh, thank you. It's a bit of a mutual admiration society here.
We better stop now, actually.
We better stop now. I'm going to hit the stop button. But thank you, Marion.
Bye.
And have a fabulous day.
Bye-bye.
Alrighty, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to the 5-Minute Business Boost. For more information, follow me on socials, sign up for my newsie, or check out my website to see how we can work together to reach your small business goals. Remember, anything is possible, especially in the northeast of Victoria. Until next time, cheerio.